So we are starting Perek Sheni. Okay, we're going to get into different lishonot of, we're continuing with this neder and shvua. We're going to get into some differences between shvua and neder. Okay, what we're going to see is while in certain ways they're very clearly distinguishing between neder and shvua, sometimes there's an overlap, and we're going to see today it's unclear necessarily. Are we talking about a shvua in certain cases? Are we talking about a neder? There's machlokot among the mefarshim, how to understand certain cases. So on the one hand, there's these distinct categories. On the other hand, the Gemara, or the Mishnah, in its typical way, kind of just mentions cases without being clear whether we're talking about a shvua or we're talking about a neder. There's clearly a bit of an overlap between them, and not so clear-cut where we draw the line, and that causes some confusion. Okay, if you recall, what we did previously we talked about chulin, lachulin, korban, right? So we had, well, again, I'm just going to repeat some basics. When you make a neder, you either say asur alai, or you say, you know, this is alai ki korban, ki something, right? We said there was a machloket, whether you needed that word for sure or not. But if you have that word, the question is, what kind of word indicates something is forbidden in a vow? So, we saw already, and this is going to be the first question of the Gemara, because the Mishnah starts off with something that we already know. So the question is going to be, why is it telling us something we already know? That's going to be the first question of today's Gemara. But the Mishnah in the second parak starts out with a list of, we talked about last time, and it's sort of a continuation of the difference between Davar HaNador and Davar HaAsur. So, when you make a neder, it has to be hinged on something. It has to be, you know, if you do the Hatzpasa, like something, it has to be like something that was something you made a neder on, or something that is something you could potentially make a neder on, but not something that's forbidden to you. Now we're going to get to this basar chazir that we talked about. So elam mutarim. Here's a list now of all sorts of things that if you say them, they're fine. It's not considered a neder at all. Chulin sheochalach, kebasar chazir, keavodat kochavim, keorot levuvim, kinevei lotu trefot, kishkatzim uremasim, kechalat aharon ketrumato, that we actually saw quoted before, mutar. Okay, it's an interesting structure. It starts up elu mutarim, but then it tells you mutar. Okay, we're going to see why. Because there's two categories in our Mishnah. The first category is the ones we just saw, and then there's other ones that are mutarim, but they need a hatara. We're going to get into that soon also, what the meaning is. I'll just read those, and then we'll go through the cases. Ha'omer li ishto harei at alai ki'ima. Okay, God forbid should your husband say this to you. Okay, right? You are like my mother, but what does he mean? That you're forbidden to me like my mother. I don't want to ever have sex with you. Potchin lo petach mimakom acher shelo yakel rosh alakach. Here's a great line. We don't want to... We know that this behavior happens, right? People swear things, they get angry at each other, and they say things they don't really mean. So while on the one hand, that's davar ha'asur, harat alai ki'ima, his mother's usher to him, but we don't want him to say that. So what do? We say, if you say such a thing, and we're going to see a bunch of different things that you have to do this for, you have to go to a chacham to get it, to do hatarat nedarim. In other words, on the one hand, it's mutar. On the other hand, it needs a petach, and we're going to get into what the issue is here, right? That eventually they're going to say, basically, mida oraita, it's not a neder. But mida rabbanan, they made it a neder to prevent men from saying statements like this. Okay. So now let's go through the cases. Here are the things that are mutar. So chulin sheochalach, we already learned this, right? The chulin is basically not a korban. It's totally mutar. So if you say, what I eat from you is going to be chulin, that's clearly not a lashon of a neder. Kibasar chazir. Now you see, chulin is very strange that it's here for many reasons. Number one, we already learned it. Number two, chulin is not a davar ha'asur. So it doesn't even fit with everything mentioned here. And that's why the Gemara is going to suggest some possible answers. Kibasar chazir. Okay, fine. Put pig. We can't eat that. Ka'avodat kochavim. Okay, avodah zarah. Something that's worshipped for avodah zarah. We're going to see the difference between avodah zarah and what we're going to call tikrovet avodah zarah. Okay? L'inyaneinu, they're going to be the same, but there are some differences. Okay? So, ke'avodat kochavim means something that you use to worship, something that somebody used to worship avodah zarah with. Ke'orot levuvin, okay, this is a strange thing. I saw some different interpretations. What exactly went on here, but the skin of a levuvin, what's levuvin? They would take the heart, one of the things they would do to worship avodah zarah, they would take out the heart of the animal. And here it becomes unclear to me. Did they just sacrifice the heart? Or according to some interpretations, they sacrificed the whole animal. Why they removed the heart, I'm not so clear. And what they did with the heart, I don't know. Maybe they sacrificed all of it, but sacrificed it separately. So the skin from this animal that was offered, this is called a tikrovet avodah zarah, is also davar ha'asur, and therefore if you make a neder on it, it's not asur. Okay? Now, what's the difference between avodah zarah and tikrovet avodah zarah? There's one important nafkamina. If it's just something that people worship avodah zarah, it's less strong than something that was worship, that was sacrificed to avodah zarah. So therefore, if you take something people use for worship, and let's say it was a group of non-Jews that used this for worship, a group of pagans, and they cut off his arm. They didn't want to use it anymore for avodah zarah. So now it's not asur b'hana'ah. Okay, the first thing I forgot to mention is that anything you worship for avodah zarah is asur midoraita b'hana'ah. You can't get any benefit from it. So, but a tikrovet, even if it was canceled and they don't want to bring the korban anymore, once it's called a tikrovet avodah zarah, you can't. It doesn't lose its status. It's always forbidden b'hana'ah. Okay? Fine. So here's another category of davar ha'asur. Kinevelot utrefot, right? Nevela, okay, an animal that dies, that died not shechted properly. A trefa, an animal that's shechted when it's sick and it's about to die, or within, I think, a year of dying, is considered a trefa. Kishkatsim uvim asim, obviously you have to know that, right? You wouldn't necessarily always know they would die, but yeah, there's certain simanim. Kishkatsim uvim asim, right? Creepy crawlers that are forbidden. Kechalat aharonu kitrumato, okay, the chala or the truma that you're not allowed to eat but the kohen can. So if you make a neder on any one of these things, it's mutar, okay, and then the second part we already discussed about the man cursing off, swearing off having relations with his wife. Okay, so the Gemara starts out and says, Tama de amar chulin sheochalach, ha amar lach chulin sheochalach, mashma lo lechulin lehave ela korban. So far, they want to derive from our Mishnah that if it says chulin she'ochalach is mutar, it must mean that lachulin would be asur. Now, if lachulin would be asur, then why would lachulin be asur? Because it means, lachulin means lo chulin, which means korban. And we say, michla lavat hashomehen. If you say it won't be chulin, it means it will be korban. And then you'd have to say, mani matnitin. So who is our Mishnah then? E Rabbi Meir, if you want to say our Mishnah's Rabbi Meir, Halele Michla Lavatashomehen, right? He doesn't hold by that klal. Ve'ela Rabbi Yehuda, so let's say you say it's Rabbi Yehuda, who does hold by that klal, it must be Rabbi Yehuda. But Hainu Reisha. Now Reisha usually means the first section of the Mishnah. Okay, and Hainu means we already said this in the Reisha. Now obviously here it doesn't mean we already said in the Reisha. Sometimes the Reisha is just speaking relatively. In other words, we already discussed this in the last parak, okay? We already explained, if you remember that Mishnah, which said Rabbi Yehuda at the end says, Ki Yerushalayim, and we explained that really the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, okay? And then, right, and then just he was adding that if you say Yerushalayim without the Ki Yerushalayim, then it would, okay? So what did we say? That whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, in which case we already said in that Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Lachulin works, and chulin doesn't work. So therefore, why are we saying it here? So now we're going to give two answers. And the second one, interestingly enough, because the second one seems a little maybe more convincing, based on something I mentioned earlier, but interestingly enough, what we're going to do now is we're going to bring two opinions and then reject the second one. So the first answer is, Aydi de katane kebasar chazir ka'avodat kochavim lahachi katane chulin. Since they mention all sorts of other ways that a neder doesn't work, so they also brought up the chulin case. Now the problem with this, the Gemara doesn't raise a problem, I'm going to raise a problem, which is the structure of the Mishnah doesn't work so well because chulin is very different from the rest of everything else in the Mishnah. Everything else in the Mishnah was davar ha'asur, and chulin is not davar ha'asur at all. So it's a little strange that they bring that it would be mentioned and mixed up in these cases of the Mishnah based on that, right? Because it doesn't fit the categories. But the Gemara is a little bit struggling to figure out why this is here, so that's what they come up with. Ravina Amar Hachi Katane. Ravina says, no, let's reread the Mishnah. This isn't what the Mishnah means. It's not listing a list of chulin, basar chazir, avodah kochavim, etc. It is listing a list, but chulin isn't part of that list. And what's chulin coming for? Hachi katane. This is the way you should read it. Ve'elu mutarin kechulin. If you say any of these things, basar chazir, avodah kochavim, or levavim, etc., it's as if you said chulin she'ochalach. Because they say, I guess you could say it like this, chulin is the classic example of something that's not a lashon of a neder. So therefore, if you say any of these things, it's like you said chulin shochalach, in which case it would be mutar. And that's like the, you know, they're saying, this is like if you said chulin. Now again, this is a little difficult because it solves my problem, which is that chulin is different from all the rest of these, so therefore why would it be in the list of them, especially if we already had it before? The problem is it doesn't really match the lashon of the Mishnah either, because it says, el mutarim. Right? Although, also one difference is it doesn't have the ke, right? Ke chulin. Okay. So Ravina says this, but now the Gemara is going to reject it. They're going to say, ve'ilo, they're trying to say, what would be the chiddush to say it's like chulin? You could just say it's mutar. So now, what are they going to basically say? We already saw in the Mishnah that there's two different categories of davar ha'asur. There's some davar ha'asur that is mutar legamre. And then there's some that you need hatara, okay? Which we already discussed. Why do you need hatara? Because we want to prevent people from doing this. Now, there's mikardin, you don't really need hatara, but we don't want people, you know, we don't want to, we know that men typically, you know, might get really angry at their wives and swear from having relations with them. And therefore, we're going to force them to do hatara just to prevent it from doing this kind of a thing. So, since we have two categories, what do they want to say? Why do they say kechulin? To tell us that it's like chulin, meaning it's not a neder at all, and you don't need hatara for it. Okay? That's what the Gemara is assuming right now. So they're going to say, v'i lo tana chulin, and that was the chiddush of saying, it's like chulin. So they're going to say, but if we didn't say it was like chulin, what would you have thought? Think about it. The Mishnah didn't say chulin. Would you have thought that the first group of things would need hatara or not? No, you wouldn't think so. Why not? Because the last case tells you this needs hatara, which makes it obvious that the first cases don't need hatara. Okay, almost like michla lavat hashomehen, right? The same kind of thing. And since it said it there that the second case needs hatara, it becomes clear that the first case doesn't. So that's what the Gemara is going to ask. V'ilo tanachulin hava amina bay she'ela. I would have thought you need she'ela. Umi ika la'asuke al data hachi. Who would have even thought that? Hamita katane seifa. It says in the end, Ha'omer liishto hareat alai ki'ima putchin lo petach mimakom achir. Michlal, from here we can derive, dereisha lo baya sheila. Right? From here it seems like the beginning part obviously wouldn't need sheila. So therefore, why would you even need to tell us that? And therefore, what does the Gemara conclude? Ela mechuvarta chulin mimela naspa. It must be the chulin was just added, like we said in the beginning. Because they were listing all these other ones that are mutar, so they just added chulin to the list. Okay? Again, very difficult. The mission, I think that the answers of the question is much better than the answers here. Okay? The really begs the question. Yes, Sherry, what do you want to add?
I think it's actually kind of clear because they're saying that these are the things that are permitted. It makes a vow permitted, like not effective.
Except that we already said in the earlier Mishnah about chulin, so why would you be repeating it?
Because it compares it to the last list, so now it's very clear. Chulin is like these last things. Because they...
You want to compare chulin to the other things, not these things are like chulin. You're saying chulin is just like these other things.
Right. Because they've made it so clear...
Uh-huh, but you want to say it's after the opposite of what Ravina said, which is that it's telling you the chulin is mutar legamre and doesn't need hatara.
Right.
And that's why it's just interesting. It's an interesting interpretation. I like it. Okay. Got to wonder why the Gemara didn't think of it, but but it doesn't mean it's not a good answer. Okay. Right, we've learned, I'll just review again methodologically. You have to remember, the Mishnah was written in a different time period of the Gemara, and the Gemara often struggles. Like, if you learn Mishnah with Kahati, okay, for example, what does Kahati do? Kahati explains to you the Mishnah generally based, or when in doubt, he goes with the way the Gemara interpreted, okay? Now, for example, there's an academic who wrote a Pirush on the Mishnah from the academic world. His name is Albeck. And he wrote a Pirush on the Mishnah. First of all, it's much shorter than Kahati because it doesn't go into all the details of the Gemara. And he tries to be Mefaresh. Again, sometimes he's stuck and he can't do it, Lefi Apshat. But he tries to be Mefaresh or Pi Apshat. And he tries to take it without trying to deal with the influence of the Gemara on the Mishnah. And it's always very important when you're learning Mishnah to again, try to think of the Mishnah like Sherry did outside of what the Gemara does with it. Because just because the Gemara doesn't offer an interpretation doesn't mean that that's not a possible interpretation. And sometimes the reality, you know, here I don't think it's a reality issue, but sometimes it's just the way their lives were and the way they saw halacha at that point just made it that they couldn't read the Mishnah according to the Pshat. But many times you can explain the Mishnah according to the Pshat in a very different way than the Gemara does. Okay. Now we want to know, Minahane Mile, where do we learn this halacha that you have to make a neder on Davar HaNadur and not on Davar HaAsur? So, Amar Kra, Ish Ki Yidur Neder LaHashem. So, what do they want to say here? That the word neder is not necessary. Okay? Because you could just say, Ish Ki Yidur LaHashem. Right? Yidur is the verb that means a person who makes a neder. Right? It's a verb saying to make a neder. So, why does it need the word neder? Comes to teach you, ad shiador b'davar ha-nador, that in order to make a neder, you have to take it based on something that already had a neder, right? That was something that could be, you could take a neder for. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute, but if you look at that whole pasuk, okay, let's just read the pasuk in its entirety, okay? You either have it on your sheet or you have it on your daf. I brought it on the sheet here. Bamidbar perek lamed pasuk gimel. Ish ki yidur neder l'Hashem, ohi shavah shvuah. Remember, we made the connection between the neder and the shvuah here. That was why the first Mishnah mentioned also the shvuah. And then once it mentioned nidarim and shvuah, it also mentioned nazir and what? Acherim. Thank you. So ish ki yidur neder l'Hashem, ohi shavah shvuah. Le'esur isar al nafsho. Okay, to forbid something to himself. Lo yachel dvaro kachol yotzei mipiv yaseh. That's what we saw, right? It has a lo taseh and an aseh, and then we saw there was another aseh also, another pasuk somewhere else. Okay. What do you see here? So yes, it has the extra word neder to teach you davar ha-nador, but what else appears in this pasuk that would seem to teach you also davar ha-asur? Le'esur isar al nafsho. It also has these other additional words. So what does the Gemara say? Yachi, afilu, if you're going to darshan the pasuk like this, so let's keep darshaning and say, Yachi, afilu b'davar ha'asur nami, dehakti, le'esur isar al nafsho. So it would seem to imply also, le'esur isar al nafsho. So now they say, wait a minute, no. That, le'esur isar al nafsho, we have a different drasha there. Mibayale l'chiditanya, ezehu isar ha'amor b'torah b'chuleng. Okay, interestingly enough, right, the Gemara always brings us brightas in their entire, right, when they're quoting something, it tells us. Here it doesn't tell us. So what's that drasha? I forgot what it is for a second. One second, let me just refresh my memory. Right. Generally, there's two types of davar ha-nadur, okay? And the braita comes to include an additional case that you might not have thought, okay? The word isar comes to include something else. There's two types of nidarim. One is your general, the one we've talked about, a korban. A korban is something that generally people are noder alav, okay? Let's say a loaf of bread is not something that generally people, you know, do a neder for. But a korban, right? So if you say ki korban, yes. If you say ki karzo, and that kikar of lechem was something that you already would, let's say you do, you take this kikar and you say, Hareze alai kikarban. So now you've made this kikar asur to you, right? B'davar ha-nador. Let's say you now take another kikar or whatever you take and you say, this is going to be asur alai kikikar. So that kikar is what the word isar, isur isar al nafsho comes to include. Something that you forbade to yourself through a neder, but not something that everybody forbids through a neder. Okay? So it comes to include that additional case. Okay? That's the chidush of isar. And therefore, from isar, we don't learn davar ha-asur. But from neder, we learn davar ha-nador. And isar comes to include even something that you took a neder on that generally people don't take nedarim on. Okay. So that's how we learn that it's only davar ha-nador, not davar ha-asur. Now we're going to get back to this case of the woman. Ha'omer li'ishto harat alai ki'ima. We're going to see a contradiction now. What do we mean who? Harat alai ki'basar ima, ki'basar achoti. Okay, here this makes it clearly like it's referencing sexual relations. Okay, you're forbidden to me like my mother is, like my mother's flesh is, like my sister's flesh is. Or ki'orla u ki'kilei akarim. Okay, two unrelated cases to this, right? Related maybe to each other, but kilaim, orla, that are forbidden. Lo amar klum. So what do you see here? Lo amar klum. You don't need hatarat, right? You don't need she'elat chacham. So, right, everybody knows what she'elat chacham is, right? He comes to the chacham and he says, I really didn't mean to say this, right? It was a mistake. I was just angry about something, and I really didn't mean it. And the Chacham says, okay, fine. You know, we'll matir it for you. But it's obviously an extra step than just saying it means nothing. Okay? So what do we do here? Here it seems to imply from the Braita that it's not a problem. Now, first of all, you can easily answer and say what? These are two different approaches. One approach is it really means nothing, and the other approach is to say, right, we don't have a problem if a Braita and a Mishnah contradict each other, because we can say, though, right, it's an Emora who can't contradict a Braita or a Mishnah unless he has some other support in the Tkufat, you know, from the Tanaim. But here it's two different Braita. So interestingly enough, though, the Gemara, again, maybe because it's so obvious to them that it needs She'elat Chacham, that they can't imagine someone would think otherwise, and they try to reconcile them. So, Amar Baye, Lomar Klum Midoraita, Vitzarich She'ela Midorabanan. That's what I said earlier, right? That Midoraita, this is totally fine. It's not a neder at all. But Midorabanan, to prevent people, and that's really the Lashon in the Mishnah, right? It says, Kadesha Lo Yakel, what was it? Shelo Yakel Rosho Lekach, right? That you shouldn't be Mekel Rosh in this. So it sounds like it's only Midorabanan. But Rava, interestingly enough, has a different interpretation. Rava Amar, Haba Tamidei Chachamim, Haba Ama Aretz. Okay? He distinguishes between Tamidei Chachamim and Amea Aretz. Amea Aretz, we want to prevent from doing this. Okay? Why? Because we assume, and this also matches the Lashon of Lo Yakel Rosh HaBakach, we're not generally worried that a Tamei Chacham is going to be Mekel Rosh in this kind of thing. So we're going to assume if a Tamei Chacham said it, right? It's not like we want to prevent him from doing it again. He obviously isn't really going to do this again, and it wasn't a Lashon of a Neder, so it's totally fine. But in Ama Aretz, we want to prevent from this becoming a common thing, and we want to prevent him from doing it. Again, you can argue, right? Just because people are Tamidei Chachamim doesn't mean their behavior at home is totally appropriate, and doesn't mean, right, that it's, we know all the time there's people who might do one thing on the outside and other things on the inside. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean, but we've seen this distinction before between Amei Aretz and Tamidei Chachamim, where you can distinguish between them in terms of certain things. So this is another Rava wants to distinguish. It depends on who it is, and where does he get this from? He says, I have a Braita to support me. V'hatanya, it says in a Braita, Hanoder b'toha lo amar klum. Okay, it says, if you're noder on the Torah, which we're going to get into soon, it doesn't mean anything. V'hatanya, v'amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'tzarich she'ela l'chacham. Okay, even though lo amar klum, you still need she'ela chacham. Now, so I just want to show you, this is levels. The Braita, okay, from the time of the Tkufat HaTanaim, says, Hanodir b'Torah lo amar klum. Rabbi Yochanan comes and says, it needs she'elat chacham. Okay, he's the next generation after the Amorim, like first to second. Then Rav Nachman comes after that and says, wait, when it says it needs she'elat chacham, he wants to tell you this. Tamei chacham, eino tzarich she'elat. Okay, only in Ama Aretz needs Sheila, because we don't want to encourage Ama Aretz to say things on a Sefer Torah. Okay, meaning, again, it's the same thing. It's like a Zilzul, right? And one is Zilzul Kvod Ishto, and here's Zilzul Kvod Sefer Torah. So while, and we're going to get to this in a minute, why Hanoder B'Torah Lo Amar Klum, but since Hanoder B'Torah Lo Amar Klum, it really doesn't need Hatara, right? But we're going to say that we want to discourage people from doing it. Who are we discouraging? Only Amei Aretz, and not Tamidei Chachamim. Okay? Again, you have to wonder why the Tamid Chacham, this whole interpretation begs the question, why is the Tamid Chacham saying such a thing? If we're assuming Tamid Chacham is not going to generally say these type of things, and is it going to be Mezalzel B'Torah, and is it going to be Mezalzel B'Yishto, then why did he say it? Especially if it doesn't even mean anything, right? It doesn't take hold as a neder, so why did he say it at all? And it's because the Tamid Chacham, and he has that kind of respect, and what was he doing this? Okay. Tanya. So now we're going to get into this Braita of Hanoder B'Torah. Okay, what's going on? Hanoder B'Torah lo amar klum. Okay, we're going to have three cases. You say, I'm noder on the Torah, lo amar klum. Doesn't mean anything. B'masha katuvba, if you say I'm noder by what it says in the Torah, dvarav kayamin. What if you say, ba u'b'masha katuvba, also dvarav kayamin. Okay, we're going to get into soon why this is, okay? But we have the three cases. You can follow it also on the chart. We have three cases. You're noder on the Torah. You're noder on what it says in the Torah. And then you're noder on the Torah and what it says in the Torah. So the first one doesn't work at all, and the second two work. So the Gemara first is going to ask here, Katane, If already you say on what it's, if you make a neder on what it says in the Torah, it works. So then, obviously, it's going to work if you say I'm doing it on the Torah and what it says in the Torah, because it includes that. So why would you even need to say this? So Amar Rav Nachman lo kasha ha demachta oraita aara. There's going to be, as you can see here on the chart, three different ways of understanding what this is talking about. Okay, what's the situation? The assumption is, just before we even get into this, that there's two options of what you're noder on. Either you're noder on the parchment, which the parchment in and of itself is not really anything, okay? Or you're noder on, first of all, okay, we have to even go back a little bit. What are we talking about here? Torah is not devar asur and it's not devar hanador, right? So what are we even referring to? So again, I told you there's a little bit of confusion between shvu and neder. So most of them say that what we're talking about here is not a neder, even though it says hanoder. Okay, this is where you see that they use the terms interchangeably. But it's a shvua. And what are you really taking a shvua on? God's name that's mentioned in the Torah. So if you say on the Torah, then it seems like you're referring to the parchment. In which case, that's not Shem Hashem. You're referring to the actual object. But if you say what it says in the Torah, then what does it say in the Torah? Oh, it says Shem Hashem in the Torah. And since Shem Hashem is said in the Torah, you're basically swearing by Shem Hashem. Those are the two ways of looking at it. So now we're going to see, but what's the situation? We're going to see a distinction between, was he holding the Torah in his hand, or was the Torah on the ground? Now here, all the Mefreshim say, oh wait, obviously it wasn't on the ground, we don't leave a Sefer Torah on the ground, but it means he's not holding it. Okay? In other words, it was down on a table, or it was right, or away from him. Okay? So now we're going to go through the different interpretations.
Couldn't you see the parchment, yeah, like the Eitzim?
The Eitzim?
The way we had in the other one, that the Eitzim is sort of seen as...
Like it's... Except that here we're not talking... That would work if this was a Korban. But this isn't a Korban. This is that we want to say Shem Hashem. And the parchment...
So the parchment's like the Torah, the way the Eitzim is like the Korban.
Yeah, but Korban is a much stronger Lashon of a Neder than... Right? Like here, you're comparing apples and oranges. Because there we're trying to find a lashon of something that you would be Davar HaNador. This isn't even Davar HaNador. This is, right, then you could say, well, the Eitzim are Davar HaNador because you bring them for your korban. Here we're talking about, did you say Shem Hashem or did you not say Shem Hashem? So if you're talking about the book itself, well, that's not Shem Hashem. You're talking about what's in the book, that's Shem Hashem.
Okay. So it really matters if he picks up the Torah.
Right, because if he's holding the Torah, then you could say he's referring to what's inside of it, even if he said... the Torah. Okay, that's going to be the gist of what we're saying, but we're going
to
see that there's
a strong analogy to have non-Jewish people always, you know, swearing the Bible. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Swearing on the Bible, right. It's the same type of issue of swearing on the Bible. Yeah. And not only, we see it in the sources here, that people would swear the Shvuat HaDayanim was generally, most of the Mefreshim think that you did it on a Sefer Torah. Okay, that you need a Sefer by Yad. Okay, that they would do swearing also on a Sefer Torah. You know, I don't know if it was a Sefer Torah or some sort of, you know, book, unclear. Okay, so now we're going to start to distinguish. So Amar Rav Nachman, lo kashya. So really our issue, okay, it's going to be a real issue between case number two and case number three, right? B'masha katubah and ba'u b'masha katubah. So Rav Nachman says, lo kashya, ha demachta oraita a'ara. One is when the Torah is on the ground. B'ha denachet le'biyadeh. One is when you're holding it in your hands. Machtal ara date agvile. If you put it on the ground, right, or it's on the ground, or again, it's on a table, or you're not holding it physically, then you're clearly referring to the parchment. And therefore what? Unless you say the words ba'u b'masha katuba, then it wouldn't work. If you just say b'masha katuba, but it's on the ground, we might even still think that you're referring just to the parchment. And so therefore, only when it's in your hands would ba'u b'masha katubah work. Okay? But when it says b'masha katubah, right, that's a case where nakale b'yadeh, and therefore clearly, since you're holding it in your hands, date al ha'azkarot sheba, okay, on the Shem Hashem that's in it. Clearly that's what you were referring to. So if it's in your hand, then all you need to say is b'masha katubah. But if it's not in your hands, then you have to say the words ba uba mash gatupa, in which case there it becomes clear that you mean Shem Hashem. You could argue with this, right? This is very semantics, whether, right, what term means what. And clearly people do argue with this. That's why we're going to bring two different interpretations, two other ones, in addition to this one. V'i bayit ema demachtal ara. Second option is to say all three cases are referring to that you're not holding the Torah in your hands. V'ha kamash malan de'af al gav demachtal ara, even though you're not holding it in your hands, kevan de'amar b'mash katuba mehane. Okay, so let's just start. If you say, so let's say it's you're not holding it. So if you just say ba and you're not holding it, we assume clearly you mean the parchment. If you say b'masha katuv ba, then you mean b'shem Hashem. And then it's the structure that we've answered a bunch of times in the Mishnah before, and this is a typical answer. Now, even though the last case is no chiddush, because then if you say ba'al b'masha katuv ba and it's on the ground, also obviously it's going to work. But v'zova ein sarach lomar zokatani. The structure of the Mishnah is a zova ein sarach lomar zokatani. What is zova ein sarach lomar zok? What does that mean? It means that it brings, you know, case. It brings case one. I mean, in this case, it's case two. But whatever, it brings one case, and then it brings case two, which is an obvious case. But it's just telling you zo, right? The first case. That's the chiddush, and then. Ain't sarach lomar zo. You don't even need to tell you the second case. It's obvious, but we're going to tell it to you anyway. We're going to spell it all out, even though you wouldn't need it. Okay? So the second answer really answers the question by saying there's really no question. Because you can explain this Mishnah that there's no reason, right? It's not a problem that the Mishnah mentions obvious cases. That's a typical structure of a Mishnah. Okay? The e-bayit aim, a third option. Now here there's a lot of problems with the nusach. Okay? I'll teach you something, since we have a bit of time. That aleph... Go, you see there's a little aleph there by the word mitziata? Okay, where does that aleph go? It goes to the Hagahot HaBach. Okay, so if you look at the Hagahot HaBach, it's in the middle, the section right near the binding. Okay, very all the way on the inside. You see at the top is Mesorat HaShas. The Mesorat HaShas shows you where in Shas these sugyot appear. Okay, like parallel sugyot. Hagahot HaBach basically makes, okay, he's Rabbi Yol Sirkis, living in the 1700s. He wrote the Perush the Bach on the Torah, if you've heard of that, right? The Torah has two Perushim that are the central, or three, the Beit Yosef and the Bach, and the Darkei Moshe, which is Rabbi, okay, the Beit Yosef is Rabbi Yosef Karo, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so first he wrote the Beit Yosef, which is his longer commentary on the Torah, and then from there, wrote the Shulchan Aruch, or wrote them as things that should go side by side, even though they don't anymore. They're printed separately, so nobody learns them together. Then you have the Bach, which is a much later Parshan, and then you have the Darkei Moshe, which is the Rama's commentary on the Torah, who also comments on the Shulchan Aruch, right? And his comments always get, right, that's the Ashkenazi Psak in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. So now, he also, besides having done a halachic work on the Torah, he also commented on the nusach of the text many times. So when he thinks there's a problem with the text, he amends it on the side. So if you see here, it says, Ibayit Ema, Kula Nami, okay, and it should say Kula Mitziata Nami. That's what it says in our text. And he says it should be Kula Nami, Kein Sarich Lomar, that's Kaf Tzadilamid, V'tevat Mitziata Nimchak. The word Mitziata makes no sense here, okay? So we're going to read it the way the Bach says it without the word Mitziata. V'ibayit Ema, Kula Nami, okay? The whole thing also is Dinaka Lebiyade, but also even this is problematic. It's also not Kula. Okay? It's not the whole thing. It means, really, the Seifa. Okay? Because the Reisha, if you see by my chart, the Reisha and the Mitziata means the middle, right? The Reisha, the Mitziata, and the Seifa. So, from Emtza. So, the first two cases, where he's Noder B'Torah, or he's Noder B'Masha Ketuba, are where the Torah was on the ground. So, if the Torah is on the ground, what happens? If you say, on the Torah, then you mean the parchment. If you say, by what it says in the Torah, then you mean Hashem Hashem. But, right, if v'ha kamashmalan, so here, the last case, the safe is dinaki lebiyade. He's holding it in his hands. V'ha kamashmalan kevan dinaki lebiyade af agav delo amar ela ba kemanda amar b'masha katuv badame. And now he's rereading the third case. The third case isn't the way we read it. Ba'u b'masha katuba. This is like coming full circle to the way we learned the Mishnah, the first Mishnah. Remember, one of the interpretations was, chulin doesn't mean it's chulin. It means these cases are like chulin. It's not like chulin is an additional case. That's what they're saying here. It's not like we have this case. Ba'u b'masha katuba. No. The case is just ba. So we have three cases. We have ba, if the Torah is on the ground, doesn't work. We have ba, if I'm sorry, we have on the ground and you say b'masha katuv ba, and then we have in your hands and you say ba. And the chiddush of the last few words of this right of this braita are that if you say ba, it's and you're holding it in your hands, then it's like b'masha katuv ba. Mm-hmm. So ba basically has two different options. Since b'masha katuv ba will work no matter what, but ba depends. If it's in your hands, then you must mean Shem Hashem. And if it's on the ground, or again, on a table, then it means that you didn't mean Shem Hashem.
Isn't it a sword to swear by God's name? And what if you...
Okay, it's not a sword, however it was frowned upon. Okay? So we're going to get to Shavua soon. Okay? When you say a neder, you say a neder connected with a korban. When you say a Shavua, the lashon of a Shavua is often you say, I swear in the name of God. So now we're gonna see off the, right. Like I talked about this about that almana that she's supposed to take a shvur, right? That she the shvur hadayanim generally was b'shem Hashem. So there was this whole thing where then they stopped women from swearing because they were ended up swearing falsely. As they were very scared about false swearing. But it's not ideally you can swear b'shem Hashem. It's just you better be careful. You better be telling the truth. You know, it's bad to swear b'shem Hashem, and maybe that's why we also had all the stress of people being mezalzel b'shem Hashem because of that.
Is this but, a modified way, like a less, slightly less humble way of swearing on Hashem, but not actually swearing?
Interesting. Right, you could be right. That's an interesting interpretation. Right, I'll repeat what Ruth is saying. What Ruth is saying is that maybe that's why they. This was a way people could swear on Shem Hashem without actually saying Shem Hashem. As a way of
indirect.
Right, indirect swearing b'shem Hashem. What do you want to say, Naomi?
No, the last week at my daughter's Tekes Hashpah, we had this whole incident of whether you're allowed to, because they were Tanachim, they received the Tanakh afterwards,
right. Uh-huh. So they didn't swear on the Tanakh.
They didn't swear on the Tanakh, uh-huh. They don't swear B'Shem Hashem, but they do swear to Medina Yisrael.
Uh-huh. Right, they say Ani Nishba. Right.
So you're supposed to say Ani Matir, but my daughter refused.
Uh-huh. So you had a whole discussion whether, so what did you find out? Can you not?
That you can, it's really not.
You can say Ani Nishba. It's not.
You don't need a. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I said that's a good, relevant, right, modern case of Tekes Hashpa'ah, and whether you can say Ani Matzir, you know, whether you're allowed to say Ani Nishba, you have to say Ani Matzir. You have
to.
Right, there's a lot of swearing that people do in certain jobs, right? Right, professional.
Or the Knesset, they just have a swearing in.
Uh-huh, right, the Knesset, there's a swearing in. I don't know how what Lashon they use. Right, I don't know how they do it there. It's a good question how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it would be interesting to see if the religious and non-religious people do it differently, which right. Is quite likely. They do a lot of things differently.
Does the Prime Minister swear on the President?
I assume if the Knesset does, he must. I mean, if everyone in the Knesset does, he's part of the Knesset. It's the same thing.
Find a middle road.
That everybody could use.
Right. Right, it's a good question. Somebody wants to volunteer to do the research into what happens at the Knesset, feel free.
She was intimidated by everybody else that was around her that was swearing. She said, uh-huh. Why would I be any... I'm not gonna
I don't want to be any different, right.
Be any different. With a group of people that she felt strong enough to assert it. So that I don't understand why they can't find a middle-of-the-road thing that is...
Right.
Or maybe that is the middle of the road. If it's not a halachic shavua...
Right, then it's okay.
They're not actually holding the Tanakh while they swear.
Right, they're not holding the Tanakh. They're just saying Ani Nishba. And again, like, maybe that's what I was getting at, that there's, you know, you can think about the, you know, there might be a difference between the religious party, the Haredi party, you know, like which, how more, right, exactly. No, like everything. Everybody has a different way. So Ani Nishba could be totally fine halachically, but there's people who don't want to do that. They're not comfortable with it, so they won't do it anyway. And that's why, you know, right. Okay. New Mishnah. Konam shani yashen, shani medaber, shani mehalech. Ha'omir li'isha konam shani meshamshech, hare ze belo yachel dvaro. Okay. Here's a very, this seems to imply, okay, that these are nidarim. Okay, which we're going to see the difference between the next mishnah is going to be shvuot. Okay, I'll just give you a sneak preview for a second on the next stuff. Shvua she'eni yashen, she'eni medaber, she'eni mehalech. That would work. That's asur. Okay, so here, what do you see here? Konam she'ani yashen, she'ani medaber. You understand? There's a difference in the nusach. Now, just to confuse you, and I'm not going to get into this, some Mefarshim say it's also Eini, because first of all, Ani and Eini, right, we all know about the Yud and the Vav, and whether it's there, whether it's not there, Malei Chaser, very easily those things got confused. And it could be, some people read in our text also She'eini, but the prevalent view, or the one I'm going to bring, is that there's a difference between a neder and a shvua. In a shvua, we talked about this, it's on yourself. So you're saying, I will not sleep. I will not do this. But here, what are we saying? It will be kona, right? Like a korban. We said that's a kinoi of a korban. It will be for a neder to me, right? She'ani yashen. In other words, if I sleep, that will be forbidden to me. And the focus is on, right, the sleep. Okay? So if I sleep, you could argue either way. That's why this is very confusing. But that's, go with this approach. That it's, you're basically forbidding sleep unto you, basically, okay? Konam shani yashen. Now, the sleep that I sleep will be forbidden to me, right? So the focus is on the sleep rather than konam she'eini, that I will not. Once you say I will not, the focus becomes on you. Here it's the sleep that I won't do, okay? Or the sleep that I will do, sorry, will be a neder to me, meaning I'm not allowed to.
And you can't do
or
that.
Or the speech that
thing.
I, what?
And you can't do that because sleep isn't a thing.
Ah, so that's going to be part of the question. Right. How are we going to get to this? That's going to be part of the question here. So how can you do, right? So they're going to, what are they saying, basically? It's on the, like the mouth that speaks right. And the hands that, what is it? Shani mahalech, or the I walk, the legs that walk, and the sleep is the body that sleeps. It's right. It's not. It's complicated. It's complicated, but that's what they're going to have to say because a neder, right? A neder can't be chal on something that ain bo mamash. Okay, a shvua can work if you say that I will, but or that I won't. But a shvua can't, because it's something, so you'd have to say, like the other, like yesterday's daf, that it's the mouth that speaks and the legs that walk. Okay? And then if you say again, ha'omer li shab konam she'enim shab shech, that I won't sleep with you, right? It's again, it's talking about not, right? The focus is on the relations that we won't have, right? Those will be forbidden to me. Ha'rezeh b'lo yechel dvaro. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up with the Gemara tomorrow.